Welcome to the Charity Peaks podcast, the place non-profit leaders come to hear how to make their organisation a success. Here is your host, Caroline McKenna.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Charity Peaks. Today is the Ask Answer section, and this week's question comes from Adam, who works with a children's charity. And Adam's biggest concern this week was about what are fundraising do's and don'ts. It's a big question, and it's one that I get asked regularly, especially with my challenge this week. So I run the Dundee International Women's Centre. We were unsuccessful with our lottery bid. So very, 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 very frustrating, but you've got to be resilient in this job, right? If there's one key skill, it's resilience. You've got to pick yourself up and crack on. Anyway, back to Adam's question. For me, it's about having a clear fundraising strategy, right? Top of the list is grants. If you look at what funders will and will not cover, do they cover a particular area? Do they only want to look after children, for example? Do they want to financially support young adults? Do they want to financially support animals, you know, rescue dogs, that sort of thing? You have to make sure that you're identifying funders who basically will give to your cause. The next step is to read through their guidelines and criteria. I can't tell you the amount of time that's been spent filling out applications only to find that you don't meet some of the criteria. And to be honest, funders are pretty good at laying out what their criteria should be. Is what types of costs do they cover and don't cover? For example, will they pay for salaries, or will they pay for some of your centre costs, things like professional fees, overheads, rent, rates, that sort of thing? And those are the sorts of things that you need to look for with a funder. And similar for trusts. So trusts, check what the trust covers, check what the criteria is. And one of the biggest things is check the deadline for filling out applications. So sometimes with trusts, they'll need to take it to their board for approval, and there may be four meetings throughout the year. So you don't want to be looking at that and forget or miss a deadline and you've got to wait another 4 months. The same with funders. Make sure that you're checking the deadline. What I would tend to do at the beginning of the year, so April's the start of our new financial year, is do my research at this stage, write down a list of potential funders who can give to my cause, and write down the deadline dates and just some notes about what they cover. And that way you've got your plan for writing out your applications. So that's grants and trusts. The third thing is fundraising events. Now, this is really, really important. So this could be anything from you might have galvanised a small team of volunteers who want to support your fundraising efforts, and they might want to do things like a spring fair or a walking sponsored walk or a cake and coffee stand or whatever it may be that brings in fund. That's what fundraising events are. Fundraising in general, though, where people are asking for money from the general public, you should always check the Institute of Fundraising website. So it's instituteoffundraising.org.uk. I'll put the link in the show notes. But they've got some fantastic resources in there about the code of fundraising practice. What are the key principles and behaviours? So, for example, organisations must never exaggerate the facts relating to your potential beneficiaries. You can't take advantage of mistakes made by the donor. So, you know, if they give you £10 instead of £5, it's about honesty and transparency, which you all know I'm a huge fan of. There's sort of how to request donations. So how you do it, you know, do you do it in a succinct, clear, honest way? Do you do it by offering them benefits? You need to make sure that the benefits are appropriate for the organisation that's giving, and I suppose proportionate to the size of the gift as well. So, and if you've said to a donor that you're going to keep them in the loop, or you're going to send them a monthly email or whatever it might be, make sure you do that. Don't say you're going to do something and not do it. Sometimes a handwritten note from a board member is a really, really nice touch, and that can keep people loyal in understanding where their money's gone, you want to make sure you're telling them where their £10 is going, exactly what it's been spent on, because that's all about the transparency piece. Definitely look up the Institute of Fundraising. It gives you a lot of information there about do's and don'ts. So things like how working with volunteers, you know, what you can do, what you can't do, making sure you're following data protection, that you've got confidentiality clauses in there. Also working with children, so making sure that you're not using children to obtain money through things like street and house-to-house collections at events involving alcohol, you know, raffles, there's gambling. The Gambling Commission really should be an area that you should refer to for any queries and up-to-date advice. So those are probably the key things to look for in fundraising events, do's and don'ts. And again, I will put the link to the Institute of Fundraising because there's a wealth of information in there that should help you. The fourth area is corporate sponsorship. Is there an organisation out there that would want to be an ambassador for your charity? So can you approach them? Do you know them? Do you know someone who knows them? Can you connect with them to say that for a regular donation each month or an annual donation, that they become your corporate sponsor, your ambassador? Now, depending on the size of the organisation, there'll be different legalities around that and different procedures. But for me, it would be about approaching those that you feel. So for example, if you're working for a children's charity, look at other businesses out there that are providing a service for children, whether it's a children's clothes company, children's toys company, that sort of thing. Try and get someone to be an ambassador. Celebrity ambassadors are fantastic, but really you want someone that's authentic and honest and really engaged with the work of your charity. The fifth one is general donations. So that could be individuals or groups or other organisations who absolutely believe in the value of your work and they just want to donate monthly. So, for example, we call them friends, friends of the centre. So those are people that you make it very easy for them to donate to you monthly. And then the last and final one, which I think every charity should look at now, is your own income stream. How can you raise money that goes back into the charity that is not making you reliant on grants and trusts, because it's harder and harder to get this money through, right? So what income stream? How can you raise money? Is it that you create and sell t-shirts? Can you open a little cafe? We have, for example, a creche service. We take our creche workers and toys and activities out to organisations and we provide that service. So there's lots and lots of different ways that you can look at having an income. You need to treat it like you would run any business. You need to have, you know, the right infrastructure, the right communications, the right marketing. And there is funding out there for social enterprises. So if your income stream is a social enterprise, there's definitely support and funding out there for that. That is my quick roundup of 6 key areas in which you can get money. And some of the highlighted do's and don'ts about fundraising. But above all, it's just about being as honest and as transparent as possible. So I hope that's been really helpful. Let me know if you have any questions. Speak to you next week. Thanks.
Ready to find out more? Why not enrol on Caroline's free 5 Days to Absolute Transparency email course? Just sign up at charitytransparency.org.